All right. Well, thank you, guys, and man, thank you, worship team, just for that powerful opening set. Love that song, that last song, man. God is in every moment. He's our greatest miracle, man. And I love that line, man. It's just a part of who we are, man. Just experiencing God in every moment here at church and in our lives throughout the week as well. Well, good morning. Welcome to all of you who are here. I want to say welcome to all of those who are watching and joining us online. We are so just blessed that we are able to, man, offer that as well, and we are able to worship God from wherever we are at on a Sunday. We are in our series on 1 John. Have you guys been enjoying this series on 1 John? Yeah? Four people over here. One here. He raised his hand. He wasn't vocal though. Anyway, I know you guys. I know some of you guys aren't like Varney and want to be the loudest in the room. And so I get that. but it's been a good series, and we've been learning a lot. And man, there's still so much for us to unpack. But today what I want to do is I want to focus on one of John's main themes of 1 John, and that's the theme of love. The theme of love. Now, throughout this letter, these five chapters, the word love is mentioned about 48 times. And so this word, he wanted to make sure, though he was talking about sin and stepping away from darkness and recognizing our sin and being mindful of the Antichrist and false prophet, false teaching and all that stuff, man, he wanted to make sure that, man, all of it comes back to this main theme of love. And John puts it this way in 1 John 4, he says, God is love. All right, here's what I want you to do. We're gonna participate online. I want you to participate as well. If you're in-house, I want you to just turn to someone right next to you and tell them something you love. It can be anything. Online, you can type it. Go ahead, tell them something you love. Go ahead. Come on, out loud. Come on, let's hear what you love. Tell us all what you love. I love coffee. Coffee, right? Someone over here loves Varney. There we go. So, here's the thing. We say we love a lot of different things, right? We love coffee, we love pizza, we love tacos, we love donuts, we love church, we love our kids, we love sleeping in. We use this word love in so many different scenarios. And you get to think about that, like why you love something and how you love something and how you keep loving something, and how you could take what you love and share that with others. Like, when we love something, what do? We go and tell someone, like, hey, man, have you tried the coffee at Cairo sometime? It's so good. I love it so much. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if we love something enough, we'll tell somebody about it. But in this meaning of love, I think it gets lost in all the things that we love. Because for me to say that I love my wife and also I love coffee, you all know I love one more than the other. I'll let you decide. And so... Someone said coffee. No. Okay. But it's kind of lost its meaning. Like, we use this word, and sometimes we overuse this word. And this word love that John talks about in the gospel, the love that we have been shown, that we have been called to show, it's so much more than saying I love tacos, right? You see, this command to love it's meant to be holy. It's meant to be spiritual. It's meant to be set apart. When John calls us to love, when we see this word love in the Bible, it's a loving that brings God glory. And this kind of love, it comes from knowing God. Knowing God, really knowing God. And when I say knowing God, I'm not just talking about like head knowledge. I'm not talking about intellectually knowing God, but I'm also talking about heart knowledge, right? Intimately knowing God. We've got to know of Him, and we've got to know Him. 1 John 4:8, it says this: the one who does not love does not know God. Now, let's stop right there. This word, know. If you go back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, here's what it says about Adam and Eve. It said, Adam knew Eve, and then she conceived. And this is, so don't get weird on me, okay? But I'm trying to help you understand the kind of love that we are meant to have with the Father. It is an intimate love. It is not just a head knowledge love where we know of God, but we don't really know God. We don't really experience his love or understand the love that he has for us. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, here's what it says. This is from the Amplified Version. It says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others growing out of God's love for me, then I have become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. If I have the gift of prophecy and I speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love reaching out to others, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. And so we have this knowledge of God, this intellectual knowledge, like we know of him. We can learn everything there is to know about him. We can do the things that the Bible say, but if we do it based on head knowledge without heart knowledge, man, do we really know him? Are we really doing it for the purposes that God called us to do it? You see, it's one thing to know of God's love. It's another thing to actually experience his love. And when we do both, that's when God's love is made perfect in us. And God's love is made perfect in us so that we can share his love with others. So knowing this love and showcasing this love, man, this is our call. This is what John's talking about. This is what we see in the gospel. Here's what I want you to know. God wants to perfect love in us so that the world can see his perfect love through us. He's going to perfect it in us. It takes heart knowledge, it takes head knowledge, so that the world can see his perfect love. And we see this love, we see John talk about this all throughout this letter. 1 John 2:10 says, the one who loves his brother remains in the light. 1 John 4:21, the one who loves God must also love his brother. 1 John 3:16, this is how we've come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should lay down our lives for our brothers. 1 John 3:2, we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. So John's saying, hey, here's the key to it all. You ready? Love God, head knowledge, heart knowledge, and love others. And this is the way. Love God and love others. And so this is what John shares in his letter in 1 John. But man, in chapter 4, he mentions the word love 27 times alone. And that's what I want to focus on today. I want to go through 1 John chapter 4 and kind of unpack what this means for you and I. Before we dive into God's word, would you guys pray with me? God, thank you today for this space, man, to come and experience and feel your love all around us through worship and through song and through community and through conversation and through serving and just being in the presence of you and of your people. God, right now we know we are in the presence of your Spirit. He is among us and your word is going to teach us. Allow us to be tuned in to what you are saying to each of us individually and how this applies to our lives. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, so I want to read to you. It's going to be 1 John 4, verses 7 all the way through 19. And just look at how many times you see the word love in here. It says, dear friends, let us love one another. Because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 13 says, this is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given assurance to us from his Spirit, and we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Verse 17. In this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, for we are he as he is in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Man, it's just a powerful, man, display of that knowledge of God's love, but experiencing God's love and God's desire within us to remain in him so that we can share that love and showcase that love with those around us. God wants to perfect his love in us, in you, in me. And I guess the question then becomes, well, how? And honestly, John lays it out for us. And I'm just going to kind of just highlight the ways that he says that this is how you perfect love, that God's love in yourself. And the first way that we perfect our love, or perfect love is perfected in us, is that we love one another. I mean, all throughout this letter, John talks about laying down our lives, loving our brother. I already read through some of them. 1 John 3:16, we've come to know love, and we should also lay down our lives for our brothers. 1 John 3:23, we believe in Jesus and love one another as he commanded. 1 John 4:21, the one who loves God must also love his brother. And so it's one thing that we learn about God's love and we experience God's love, but if we don't take that love and show that love, we are missing the point of this. John says, you want love to be perfected in you? God's love perfected in you? You go and you love others with it. And you show them that love. Love one another. The second thing, it goes back to love. Remain in love and remain in God. 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. So no matter what's happening, right? No matter what someone says to us, does to us, or how they disagree with us, no matter how much they've hurt us, no matter the circumstances that we go through, we remain in love and we remain in God. And as we remain in love and we remain in God, we can still showcase God's love even in the most difficult of times. And that's what God's talking about. Remain in love and remain in God. The next one, the third one. Y'all, it's so key. Drive out fear. And he talks about it, you know, perfect love, it drives out fear. There is no fear in love. It drives it out. You know, and it goes on to talk about how there's no fear in judgment, right? Because we know that it's appointed for man to die and then face judgment. But for those of us who have the knowledge of God and of his son and confessed our lives to him and remain in him and remain in the light, we don't have to fear the judgment because Jesus already suffered our judgment for us. And he did that out of an act of love. So God's love is greater than your past fear, your current fear, or your future fear. We don't have to fear because God is greater. 2 Timothy 1:7. What's he say to us? He said, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love. And so we got to drive out the fear. The fourth and final thing that John shares with us is that we are to keep his words in action and in truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, it says, but whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is perfected. This is how we know we are in him. The one who remains in him should walk just as he walked. How do we know we are in God? We walk in the light. We've already talked about that. And we also walk in love. 1 John 3:18 says, we must not love with word or speech, but with action and with truth. It's one thing to say you love God. It's one thing to say you know God. It's another thing entirely to live that love out every single day despite what's happening to you. So what do? We love one another, we remain in love, we drive out fear, we keep his words in action. And this comes until we know God's love, we experience God's love, we keep God's love, we speak God's love, we put God's love into action. And by his love, shown to us that we've experienced, we love one another. And John says, this is it. If you don't have love for your brother, despite what they did to you, God's love is not in you. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to jump over to chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. Here's what it says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. And this is how we know that the love, that we love God's children. This is how we know that we love one another when we love God and we obey his commands. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. Now his commands are not a burden, because whatever has been born of God conquers the world. Love is born of God. Love conquers. And it goes on to say that, this is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. Now, you read the rest, and I read 1 Corinthians 13 to you. You go all the way down to the end of that. You go to 1 Corinthians 13:13, and it says these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You see, there is victory through our faith. But without love, we cannot perfect our faith. And the flip is as well. Without faith, we cannot perfect our love. So we have this intellectual knowledge of God, right? Our faith. And we have this intimate knowledge of God that is our love. And it's through loving God, both with our head knowledge and our heart knowledge, that we begin to love others. And when we love others, that leads us to loving God even more. And when we love God even more, that allows us to love others even more. Love begets love, begets love, begets love. And this is our call. This is what John says. No matter what's going on, no matter what the enemy's whispering, no matter what's being done to you, no matter what's being said about you, keep in God's love. Keep showing God's love. Remain in me. Live by my commands. It's not a burden. Love is born of me, and love conquers the world. So what does this look like? What does this look like here for our church, and for our ministry? Because we come in here on Sundays, and we get to experience what we call a worship service. We get to experience community. We get to know of God's love in God's word. We get to experience his love through worship. We get to experience his love through connecting with other peoples. And that love that we learn about, we then take and we give it out. We begin serving. And we begin, you know, talking with others. And we begin praying with others. And we have the prayer and the praises. And we're meeting with each other and out in the cafe or in the hallway. And we're talking about our life and we're praying with one another. And as we pray and as we connect through love, we begin to support one another. We can provide meals or we can provide financial assistance. And then, man, we have this community that is built on the knowledge of God, but also, man, that intimate knowledge of loving God and loving one another. And we make this community. And because of this community, now we're able to, as a church, not just have love within these walls, but to take that love and go outside these walls and show God's love to everyone we come in contact with. We learn, we get that intellectual knowledge of God, and we get to know God by being around God's people, and we get to go and we share that love with God's people. That's a part of what it takes and what it's about as being in a church. It's not just about coming in here on Sunday and learning a little bit more about God. And we don't just learn to have knowledge. We learn to know God, know of God, experience God, and then take God and share him with others. We learn about his love to share his love. And so at church, that's what we do. We gain that intellectual knowledge and that intimate knowledge, and we go out there and we share it. I was thinking about this in my life, in my family's life, as it pertains to fostering. It takes a lot of love to foster, be foster parents. If you are a foster parent, or if you know someone, you may know that. But I just got to thinking about like the intensity of this and what it takes to really give that love, to bring another child into your home that you have not known. You don't know, you know, their character. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what's going to happen. But because God's love compels you, you bring them in. And as you bring this child in, you get to learn a little bit about them. And you get to share the love that God has for them. And as you learn, maybe they have siblings, and you begin to have this love for also those siblings that maybe they wish they were together, they could be back together, and you want that for them. And you get to learn about their parents, and you not only do you have this love for this child, and you want to help this child, but you've got to be able to have this love for everyone that's in this child's life. their siblings and their parents. And sometimes that's hard. But it's through the love that I find here, through the love that I see from God here, that I'm able to step into this and give that love even when it's hard. You see, it allows me to tap into God's love. And because I'm constantly tapping into his love, I have love to give. And that's it's a huge part of it. And you would think, man, as pastors, we would be tapped out with everything that we're doing in ministry. You think we'd be tapped out. But the reality is, as we draw from the source of love and we give from the source of love, the source keeps giving back to us. Right? As we unload the love that we've been shown from God, he just keeps filling it up. He said, I see you loving. I see you caring. I see you, man, stepping out. I see you taking risks. I'm going to keep filling you up so you can keep giving it out. And one of the other things that's really cool is as we give out his love, not only does the source fill us up, but the people that we are loving also give us love back. So we're called to love and remain in his love. And it's so key. Galatians 5:22. It kind of just tells us how do we do this? How do we give love that we've been given? And if you know Galatians 5:22, it's the fruits of the Spirit. Right? We show this love with others. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. But I love how it all starts. What's the very first word? Love. All of these other things flow from a place of love. All of these other things are born from a place of love. And when you are connected to love, when you are connected to God, you have love to give. And it's not just a head knowledge, it's also a heart knowledge. Where we really know him because we're experiencing him, the things that he's doing in us, but also the things that he's doing through us. And those things should be showcased through joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, John in his letter, he tells us that it's not just in word and speech. It can't be just in word and speech. It's got to be in truth and in action. And the reality is sometimes giving that love or showing that love, it hurts. Sometimes it's hard. Because sometimes the love that we are called to give is a love that comes against a brother or a sister who we know is causing harm to themselves by living a life of sin. And so we love them so much that, and we see them stepping away from the light, that we call out their sin, and we do it in a kind and gentle way, but it's hard. It can kind of create maybe a tension. But if you do it from a place of love, it should bring them back to God. Sometimes it's difficult to love those who have hurt you. I think oftentimes it's even more difficult to love those who have hurt those you love. Right? You're like, you can come at me all you want. You come at my kids. You got another thing coming. It's difficult sometimes to showcase this love when we don't want to. Or when we don't think someone deserves it. And so the reality is you should be careful. I don't want you to put yourself in a situation where someone is hurting you mentally, verbally, whatever. I don't want you to put, so show love from a distance, right? Be forgiving, be kind in any interaction that you have. Like, don't talk about them behind their back. Talk about, man, just how much you want to have this reconciliation with them. Because when you talk about someone behind their back, gossip, that's not loving. Talk good about them. Talk about how you want them to experience in their life the love that you have in Jesus. Talk about how you want them to repent and to maybe even come to salvation through Jesus. That's the kind of love that we're called to show. Yes, they've hurt us. Yes, they've hurt someone that we love. But it doesn't say love others when it's convenient or easy. It just says love others. And God will remain in you. See, our faith shown through love. Listen to me. This comes from John. Our faith through love conquers the world. That's what he says. When we love God, the love of God flows through us to love others. So even when our flesh says no, we love. Even when fear creeps in, we love. Even when we don't want to, we love. Even when it may be a risk or a sacrifice, we love. Even when we don't even know what the outcome may be, we love. Even when we disagree, we love. And I think something some of us need to hear in this day and age, because there's a lot of disagreement going on that's causing us to not be loving, but to be malicious, to not be kind, to not be patient, to not be gentle, to not be understanding, to not know where they're coming from, but to just be like, you know what? Nah, I don't love you because you don't believe or think the way I do, so peace. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what he called us to love or how he called us to love. We love one another despite our differences. We show love despite what's been done to us. You know, I was thinking about this as it pertains to foster care. You know, when you enter into foster care, when you first get a call and you learn about a placement, you get like this you get a file. It's like a they call it the blue book, and this has everything that you need to know written down anyway about this child, about their parents, about their siblings, about what has been done to them or alleged to have been done. And you begin to read, and as you're reading, like, you see what's happened, and you see what has been done, you see what has been said, you see what they've going through. And in that moment, y'all, it's so easy when you are reading and you're gaining knowledge of maybe what a parent has done to judge them so hard and condemn them. Right? We get that intellectual knowledge. We learn everything we can learn about them as we read it. But then if we actually take time to get to know them, our heart begins to break for them. Because many times, the things that they are doing was done to them or even worse. And I don't want to make excuses for them. But I think about this, like, we get knowledge of them, like, we get to read about them on paper, but as we love their child or their children, and we get to know them, we begin to understand what they've gone through, the decisions that they've had to make, what's been done to them. And what I've learned through this is, man, I got to believe the best in people. I just do. Because what I've come to know about a lot of these parents whose children get removed from them is they don't have anyone believing the best in them. They don't have anyone supporting them. They don't have anyone loving them. So I believe the best. And I showcase God's love so that they can experience God's love. Because maybe they never have before. Man, aren't you glad that as God reads over all the bad things that you've done, all the sin that you've committed and will commit, aren't you glad that as God gets this intellectual knowledge of you, that he didn't condemn you? No, instead, you know what he did? He sent his love down to you. Right? Because he has a knowledge of you. God knows you more than you know yourself. But he also wanted to get to know you. He wanted to have a relationship with you. And he did that through his son. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 10, it says, love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is perfected in us. So John says, when we love one another, God's love is perfected in us. So love God, love one another. This is the way. I'm asking that you guys would bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to ask you just a couple questions as it pertains to this. I wonder, who needs your love today? Who needs you to show them love this week? who needs love but may not deserve it. Maybe you don't think they deserve it. Who needs love because no one else is showing it to them? Who needs love because they don't feel loved at all? It's so easy to get caught up in anger and frustration when things don't go our way or someone hurts us or does something that we don't agree with. And we gain this intellectual knowledge of them, but it's in really trying to understand them, understand what they're going through, that we can love and show love. And maybe, just maybe, be the person that for the first time this week or this month or even this year has believed the best in them. God, right now, while this command to love is so clear, and you laid it out for us, your son modeled it for us, We know what unconditional love means to us. But God, it's so hard sometimes to give it back. To love others. And what we've learned from this is that, God, it can't be done in our own wisdom, in our own strength. God, we got to keep drawing from the source of love. Because what is born of you, God, love and faith and hope and joy, and there is victory in those things. We can conquer the world in those things. God, I pray that we would never stop gaining that intellectual knowledge of you, getting to know you in that way. But God, I pray that as we do that, we also don't forget to have an intimate knowledge of you, to experience your love through worship, through serving, through giving, through outreach, through prayer, through just showing your love to somebody by being there for them or supporting them or calling them or texting them or maybe just maybe saying, I forgive you and I love you and I want to get through this. I know it's going to be hard, but by God's love in me and through me, we can. God, we are called to be a light in this world. And to walk in love no matter what's going on around us, God. And I pray that through your word and through your spirit that you would embolden us today to be a people who your love is perfected in. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.